In recent years, we've seen some statues of historical figures toppled or disfigured. The largest granite statue in America is in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It would be impossible, I think, to topple unless you're a gigantic monster or something. It's called the Forefathers Monument, and it's dedicated to the memory and the influence of the Pilgrims. And hopefully the historical revisionists have no plan to deface that statue either. Kirk Cameron helped make that statue famous because he made a movie about it several years ago called Monumental. The statue was unveiled in August 1889, and in August 1989, Dr. D. James Kennedy spoke to commemorate the 100th anniversary of this amazing faith-promoting statue. Michelle Gallagher of Plymouth has put together a beautiful coffee table picture book that celebrates the monument, its message, and its history. The book is called Forefathers Monument Guidebook, and she joins us now to discuss the significance of this monument itself with its emphasis on faith, education, law, liberty, and morality. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Michelle Gallagher's website for her book, it's a beautiful book, by the way, is fmguidebook.com. And Michelle, I got to tell you sometime. One time I was in a meeting with several people who were very interested in America's, you know, true story or Christian roots, and I brought out a copy of your book, and the man leading the meeting said, "This is so beautiful. Can I have a copy of this book?" And I said, "Sure." And I gave him my copy. But your book is fantastic. And, thank you for putting it together. For those not familiar with it, what inspired you to write about this statue?
You know, thank you, Jerry, for having me. It's wonderful to be with you. And I live in Plymouth, not far from the monument, and I discovered it in my own neighborhood. I joke in the introduction to the book that we were walking the dog one evening and we came around the corner. And for those who are not familiar with the Forefathers Monument, it is, imagine, if you will, almost a Statue of Liberty, just a huge central figure of faith. She's pointing her finger up to the sky, pointing toward heaven. She's holding a Bible. She's standing on Plymouth Rock, and she towers over four seated figures below her. So five figures altogether, and you mentioned them. It's faith and morality and law and education and liberty. And I stumbled across this monument, and I was so taken by it, not just the enormity of it, Jerry, because it's 81 feet tall. It's massive, but it's also nestled in kind of almost a hidden residential area. And as I started learning more about the monument, I realized it's kind of hidden because when it was first built, it was on one of the largest hills overlooking the Plymouth Harbor. But of course, you know, the homes were not built in, the tree line had not grown in. So it's kind of become this hidden gem that many people don't know about. And over time, I felt compelled to write a book about it because it's a beautiful monument to the legacy of the Pilgrims. As you said, you know, it was dedicated in 1889, and it was constructed. In fact, the monument's inscription, as you walk up this hill and stare up at these massive figures, the inscription to the monument reads, "Erected by a grateful people in remembrance of their labors, sacrifices, and sufferings for the cause of civil and religious liberty." And each of those figures is a crucial component to the Pilgrim legacy. You know, we forget sometimes because we've grown up in liberty. We've grown up with self-government here in America. We forget that it was not always so. You know, the Pilgrims came from England. Many of us know the story. They left England because of they were being persecuted in the Anglican Church. The Pilgrims were considered separatists, which was a smaller kind of sect of the Puritan movement in the Church of England. And they were so convicted by conscience that they could not follow these unbiblical laws in the state-run church. So they left to worship God on their own according to the Bible. And that, you know, that set them on a path. They not only left England, but they fled to Holland. They lived there for a time, and they eventually sailed to what they thought would be Virginia. But of course, they blew off course and landed through divine providence at Plymouth, what we now know to be Plymouth Colony. And it's amazing when you look at what they went through, not just to survive, but as they began to work together to set up this new colony. And so it's quite remarkable when you look at the faith that was part of their lives and part of their new civic government, and how that their faith impacted their, well, their faith actually gave them morality. Their faith in Christ and the God of the Bible is how they derived their morality. They lived according to biblical laws, and that's how they established their own laws at Plymouth Colony. They educated their children according to the Bible. And that was how they were able to achieve liberty. So when you see this massive monument, it's quite remarkable. It's a fitting tribute. And it's not just those key five figures. Each of the seated figures below, and that's why the guidebook goes into this great detail, because there's so much symbolism. Kirk Cameron, as you mentioned, he did the movie Monumental, and he talked about the history of the Pilgrims and how this monument is a tribute to their arrival in America and bringing self-government, biblical self-government. But there's so many symbolic elements, and I go into all of those in the book, because each one of them is a piece of the Pilgrim puzzle, if you will. It talks about their enduring legacy, and it's very inspirational.
All right, so the Pilgrims actually came in 1620. This monument wasn't made until 1889, you know, almost 300 years later. Who was it that initiated it to have this monument, to say, hey, we got to remember the legacy of the Pilgrims? And by the way, since you say you actually lived there in Plymouth, and you still do, but you didn't even discover the monument from other people talking about it so much as you saw it yourself, and it's like, wow, what is this nestled away, you know, hidden away? Do many of the people of Plymouth, Massachusetts today, many of the residents, realize how significant much of the history is that was created in their own hometown there?
Well, and I mean, I think a lot of Plymouthians recognize the history, but we've also lost a lot of the true history. Many people come to Plymouth, and they go straight to Plymouth Rock, which is very historic. And I also talk about that in the book. But many people come to Plymouth and, you know, we call it America's hometown, and they leave without even seeing the monument. They're not even aware that it's there, which was honestly, Jerry, one of the reasons why I wanted to write the book, because it's such an impressive monument. I wanted more people to be aware of it. And it's a unique monument in that you're not just walking up to something, looking at it, oh, that's neat, and then you walk away. You can walk around in the entire monument, all of the symbolism, all of the figures. There's these massive marble panels that go around that tell different points of the Pilgrim story, whether it's the when they left Holland, or the signing of the Mayflower Compact. So the entire monument tells the Pilgrim story. And honestly, it's something that we've kind of lost a little bit of in modern interpretations. We forget that they came here because of faith. We always say, if you go to some of the local places, you'll hear such a watered down version of what really happened with the Pilgrims. You'll hear that they simply came for economic opportunity, and they've almost kind of erased the faith component of the story, which, as you well know, Jerry, you cannot separate the Pilgrim story from faith, because that was the motivation for all that they did. So it's quite remarkable. So we're trying to kind of elevate people's awareness, not just of what's happened, you know, here in Plymouth and the history, the true history of the Pilgrim story, but we're trying to help people across the nation. You know, hey, when you come to America's hometown, and it is certainly that, but it really is about the faith and freedom that began here through the Pilgrims at Plymouth Colony.
Excellent. Okay, explain to us, what is the Mayflower Compact, and why is that significant in world history?
You know, the Mayflower Compact is quite remarkable, because imagine when the Pilgrims came over on the Mayflower, half of the ship were part of the what we consider to be the the Pilgrim congregation, the separatists, and the other half were really just people kind of coming for their own opportunity, you know, trying to come to the new world. And I go into that story of why they, you know, why it wasn't just all the church and, you know, as they kind of negotiated with their, with the people who helped fund the trip, you know, how it ended up being that way. But you basically have a ship filled with half of the people were pilgrims and half weren't. And so the pilgrims were devout Christians, and maybe the rest of the ship, maybe they believed in God, but their only understanding was really just the Church of England. They were not biblicists. And so as they blow off course, and instead of going to Virginia where they had a land patent, they arrive off of the shores of Cape Cod, and the pilgrims believed that God had, through divine providence, had led them to this new place. They wanted to stay, and several on board were not too keen on the idea. They literally like, hey, we didn't sign up for this. We don't necessarily want to do this. And when you come to shore, we're going to go our own way and you can't stop us. And that was true. And so there was no order to what they were doing. And so the Mayflower Compact was remarkable because the pilgrims were able to achieve consensus among everyone on the ship. The Mayflower Compact was the first act of self-government in America. And what's remarkable about it, and not many people know this, is that the pilgrims, when they left the Church of England and began worshiping on their own, they worshiped and governed themselves as a church body. They elected their own leaders. They chose their own pastors. Even when they left Holland and came to America, that decision was made by a vote. And so they were really the only ones on board who had any concept of what it meant to govern themselves. The other people on the ship and really all of the world at that point, it was really dictators and kings and monarchies. And so the Mayflower Compact came out of the pilgrims and their own church covenant compact as a congregation. And it was quite remarkable. And so it was the first instance where a group of people came together and agreed that they would submit to their own leaders, duly elected, and they would follow their own laws that they voted on. So it was really just remarkable, Jerry.
And scholars even say that, you know, in effect, that there in the cabin of the Mayflower, you have the beginning of the American constitutional system, in effect, because ultimately this bears fruit in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, both being agreements under God with signed witnesses. You know, we whose names are underwritten, we agree to this. And the Mayflower Compact kicked it all off. And then there were many other Puritan-type compacts and frames of governments, but basically you can put it this way. The biblical concept of covenant gave rise to the American Constitution. The first step in the whole process was the Mayflower Compact.
No question. And, you know, the pilgrims, you know, they believed that lawful government was established by God to restrain evil and to advance good. And they also had a biblical understanding of government, that the government was set in place not to grant you your freedoms, but to protect the freedoms that you inherently received already from God. And it's funny how, it's remarkable when you see how the pilgrims laid the foundation for self-government. You can see how that is echoed. And I discuss this in the book, how the pilgrims planted the seeds for self-government that bore fruit. You know, the founding fathers, they continued, you know, what did they say? They say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with inalienable rights, that among these life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and that, you know, the government is there not to accord us these rights or to grant us these rights. The government is there to protect what we receive from God as our own God-given rights.
Okay, we have less than a minute to go. How about comments on the Indians? Because some people say, oh, the pilgrims mistreated the Indians. Your thoughts?
You know, and I go into it in the book, the pilgrims did a remarkable job creating fair and just circumstances to interact with the Indians. There's no question that without the natives, the pilgrims would not have survived. And what's remarkable is that, especially the Pilgrim-Wampanoag Peace Treaty, you know, it lasted for over 50 years. So there's no question that we have times in our history and we've got situations where they were taken advantage of. But the pilgrims did a remarkable job, not only working with the Indians and befriending them, but creating and sustaining a lasting peace.
So, all right. I only have enough time to give your website, and it is FM Guidebook.com. www.forefathersmonumentguidebook.com. Again, this is by Michelle Gallagher, Forefathers Monument Guidebook. Michelle, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.